What is up, guys? Welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is still Jason.
And I'm Ian. And along with Paul, join us as we bumble our way through the gaming industry. So pop the kettle on, grab a brew, and let's get on with today's discussion.
Yes, today's discussion, I think it's going to be a good one, to be fair. But before we get to that, how are you today, Ian?
Yeah, not too bad. Slowly catching up with life.
Yeah. Is it always life catching up with you? That's the real
bit of both,
bummer,
isn't it? Plodding my way to the end of one job to start a new one.
Yeah, can't complain though. You've been looking for a new job for a while, so there you
I
go.
Have. I do have something funny though. Is I applied for the vaccination role for the NHS back in January, went through the entire process, then basically telling me I've got a job, we'll be in contact with you shortly. 7 weeks later, I get a letter through the post. We don't need you anymore.
Oh wow. Okay, fair enough.
That's 3 months after I started the application.
Nice. But, good job you didn't hold out for that.
Lucky I got another job.
Yeah, as I say, very good job you didn't hold out for that.
Or didn't hand my notice in for that, which I could have done like about a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's not good at all. But that being said, all things silver lining, you have got another job anyway.
I have.
Good. I mean, I'm personally, I've been counting down the days till we can come out of our little hidey holes. You know, where our Meeple Minded merch available now on the Made by Meeple Amazon store. Cha-ching. Got it in there.
That one's for you, Paul.
There we go. But yeah, obviously, I can't wait to get out there and actually finally get to see our beloved friends and family that, you know, we haven't seen in what feels like a century at this point.
You have friends?
Well, I say that. I mean the people that come to my clubs, you know. Fellow Kickstarters Anonymous members, there we go. But yeah, I know you've been playing a lot of Valheim recently, but have you had any interest peaking with the up-and-coming game releases, or am I not allowed to remind you that Robinson Crusoe has just hit GameFound?
Yeah, don't. I love that game, and I probably will have a peek.
Well, those minis do look rather swish, I'm not going to lie.
But no, on talking of Kickstarter, though, we finally got a Kickstarter, both of us did, that we backed in 2018 turn up today.
Well, I'd almost
today,
lost
hope. Days. And I must admit, first impressions, I'm very, very, very impressed.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I've had a good look at all the boxes that turned up, and I think it's going to be worth the wait. I was starting to think it was never going to turn up, but yeah, Zoography, first impressions, looks absolutely fantastic. I really like the card game version, as in the small box version of it as well, but the meeples that come in the full size are amazing.
I just like the fact that we have a expansion for it. We got a collector's box from our packages as well. As Jason said, the card game version means we almost have like a travel edition of the game. And they even put in a note saying there's a space for an expansion that's due in the box as well. So they've already future-proofed it as well.
Yeah. I mean, so, top marks for that. You know, it's one of the things we constantly moan about as gamers is that they do not leave you enough room in those boxes. The fact that they've future-proofed it to the point of, we know we're going to do another expansion, so we'll just make sure there's enough space in there for when that comes out, because then they're more likely to buy it. Anyone would think that was a good business decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very, very impressed. I cannot wait, and I think the sloth meeple is going to be with me always.
But yeah, we'll reserve judgment till we've actually had the ability to try it, but with both of us having a copy and it being on TTS, if I believe.
It is indeed.
I don't think it'll be long before we start having a few playthroughs of it. And once we've done that, I'm sure you guys will hear all about it in full.
Indeed, yes. There will be a couple of videos going up on the YouTube channel about it, and I'm going to bet we'll talk about it on the podcast as well. So, yeah, listen and watch out for more. But anyway, shall we get on to the main topic of today?
Yeah, I get the feeling this is going to be a little bit of a controversial one.
Yeah, let's stir up some controversy. We've been going nearly a year. I think it's about time we stick our pokey sticks into the controversy bin. What do you think?
Yeah. Makes a change from using me pokey balls.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
Yeah, got a Pokemon joke in there. Deal with it.
I apologise on behalf of the Meeple Minded to the viewers out there for that terrible, terrible punishment that you've just gone through.
You started it.
I did. I apologise.
There's also a really terrible innuendo in there too, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll leave it at that. So, the main topical discussion of this week. Yeah, as human beings, we're pretty susceptible to forming bad habits, I think, and in almost everything we do. So, that got us thinking, what bad habits can we really, really form within tabletop gaming?
Yeah, so there are many out there, and this isn't just a dig at any one person or anything particular. One of the biggest bad habits that we've had recently, coming from the fact that both of us two love our cooperative games, is something called quarterbacking.
Yes, yes. Yeah, as Ian said, we're both huge fans of cooperative games, and quarterbacking can be a real bugbear, pet peeve involved in cooperative games. And yeah, it can ruin the game for a lot of people.
I'm sure this will come up later, but I have actually had a game where I have got up and walked away due to this. So yeah, this is why I said this is going to be potentially quite a controversial subject. You know, we said there's loads of these bad habits that can come up into full-blown episodes, and we don't want to be here for hours, but we figured this one has come up a couple of times and it's worth talking about, and why, what it is and why it sounds like it's something different.
Yeah, definitely. It is far too common amongst the tabletop industry, so it's one that we had to talk about, and it was probably always going to be the first one we would talk about as well, being so close to our hearts. So I guess the first question is, what is quarterbacking? Would you like to explain it, Ian?
Yep. So quarterbacking, it is, as we just said, it's more often or not happens in cooperative games, and it's when one or more players try to take over the group and determine and tell every other player what to do. The term itself actually comes from the American football, where the quarterback leads the offensive players in the team.
Yep, exactly. So it is exactly as it says on the tin. You know, it's one or multiple players telling other people what to do and essentially taking all of their decisions away. And if you're not making decisions, are you even playing the game anymore? Or are you just sat there watching someone else play a game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what quarterbacking is. But it is hard to actually tell sometimes if someone is actually quarterbacking or whether you're even quarterbacking, because some people do it without even knowing that they're doing it. Maybe you're just very passionate about the game and feel like you're helping, but not actually realizing how intrusive you're actually coming across to those other players.
I'll also bring in now, this will probably come up later, when teaching cooperative games, it can be easy to set up quarterbacking and then continue to do so.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, how can you tell if someone is quarterbacking? Well, to be honest, that question is actually a lot harder than you think, because it can easily be confused with a player that just wants to help everyone, or someone who has more experience in the game in question. But as I said, the telltale signs are out there to look for, and the first one that you really need to look for is someone is basically trying to tell everyone how to take their turn without first being asked for suggestions. Generally, if you're there to help, it's okay. You know, you'll usually be asked for your help, or they'll ask for your suggestions. Whereas if someone is jumping straight in before you've even had a chance to say what you're thinking about doing, that is very, very reminiscent of someone who is trying to quarterback the game.
Yeah, it's taking control out of the player in question's turn. You know, if me and Jason are playing a cooperative game and I was quarterbacking, when it becomes Jason's character's turn, I would straight away be saying to him, right, you need to do this, 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 and this for your turn. And straight away, he's got nothing. The different way to tackle this, and again, we'll go into this in more detail later, but there's a difference between me telling him exactly what to do or waiting for him to decide what to do and then maybe saying there are other suggestions, seeing if he wants to hear them, and then leading on that way.
The next one would be, as I've deemed recently, as taking the Mandalorian approach.
This is the way.
This is the way. Their way or the highway, basically.
I have spoken.
We apologise if no one out here has seen The Mandalorian. They are all quotes from The Mandalorian. Go and watch it. It's awesome.
Disney Plus, we want some sponsorship.
Oh yeah, we probably should say at this point, this podcast is not sponsored by Disney Plus. However, if they would like to sponsor us, we are more than open to suggestions. So, yeah, essentially, someone who is going on the lines of it's their way or the highway, basically, that is full-blown quarterbacking. And, yeah, you should knock them down. Not physically, obviously. The next one, they will get incredibly defensive when you try to talk about their game strategies. Generally, a quarterbacker won't really want to justify why they're saying what they are saying.
This continues the previous thing of my way or the highway. You know, it's if you're not adopting their strategy and questioning it, you know, then they still think their way is the only way to win the game.
Yeah.
And that can be an issue. And I've seen people physically throw co-op games because they purposely wanted to play something different to what was continuously being suggested because they got fed up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then the final one, again, it kind of it moves on from that one, is if you decide to not do what they suggest, they get incredibly offended. And as Ian said, that they will either start throwing the game or they'll get worse. Which is it's never any fun for anyone when that starts happening. So it's one of those things. The key thing to remember with tabletop gaming, it's a game. And if a player doesn't get to take their own turns and make their own choices, then they may as well not be playing. And if people aren't enjoying the game, then it's not fun, which is the whole point.
Yeah, imagine a game like Pandemic, for example. The whole point of the game is to have five, you know, the thematic point of the game is to have up to five minds trying to work out how to cure the pandemics. You know, if you've got one person controlling the other four, it's not five minds all trying to work together and come up with theories and stuff.
Mm.
You know, look at it in a thematic point as well as game point. The whole joy, as I said, I know we're using co-op. This can be done in PvP as well, but specifically it's more common in co-op because you all have to work together. And it is easy for one or two people to railroad a co-op game. Also, done point out, can be railroaded by the other players, you know, having people play for them. Because they might not feel like they understand what's going on. But it's easy to get into that comfortable seat without realizing it, that you're in total control of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously we alluded to the fact that it is sometimes very difficult to tell if someone is quarterbacking. And I guess the next question is, when is someone not quarterbacking? And I mean, the first one would be, quarterbacking in games is not the same as participating in a discussion and what the group could or should do next. That's actually just the inherent nature of a cooperative game.
So again, this is going to come up multiple times because of the way we're tackling this, but it brings back to my point of, you know, the quarterbacker suggesting stuff, not demanding stuff, and making sure that everyone gets to come up with their own ideas of what they want to do. You know, and then as a group trying to work out what's the best thing we can do. It may well be the quarterbacker's idea that is actually the best thing to do. But if they're demanding things need to be done, you'll often find people won't do it because they're fed up of the lack of control they have.
Yeah. And I suppose the only other one that really sticks in my mind at the moment is something that Ian did touch on earlier, which was coaching and helping new players or experienced players that just aren't used to playing that particular game. So if someone is stuck on what to do because they haven't played the game before or is maybe not as experienced as the other players, someone offering to help and give suggestions is not the same thing as quarterbacking, because as Ian said, there is a huge difference between suggestions and demands.
There's also a very good way to deal with players that rely heavily on everyone else to play for them, and that's when it's their turn. Ask them to suggest first what they think they should be doing and why.
Yeah, engage them into the game.
Normally you can understand why someone doesn't want to engage, because they don't understand something, you know, one aspect of the game, and are too frightened often to say anything or don't want to look silly. So if you can try and get them to justify what they're doing, if they wish to, they don't have to, but if they want to, you can often try and piece together where what they're thinking, what they're struggling with, what they're not struggling with, and where they're heading with the game, so that they might figure out why the strategies are different, why different things may or may not be better or worse, and let them decide at the end of the day. Don't tell them.
Mm.
You know, especially when you get someone in this position, let them pick what they want to do, and the whole group takes on the consequences. You can then explain later why you might have thought something's different or would have worked better. But if people can physically see it all in action, everyone's part of the game. And it can actually make the games harder or easier, you know, by making mistakes. It's part of life.
Yeah, you learn from our mistakes. And it's no different in games. You know, people have to play games. They have to live. They have to learn how these games work. And the only way to do that is to fail. It may not be fun. I personally love losing a cooperative game because it's usually absolutely hilarious. But, you know, some people, it's not as fun. So we get it. We do get it. But as we said, people that quarterback aren't necessarily bad people.
They often don't realize they're doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And on those lines, they would actually be mortified to find out that they are actually causing distress to other players, you know, for these people that don't know that they're doing it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just needs to be highlighted nicely, not tackled in an aggressive way or anything like that. So, but we'll get to dealing with that.
Yeah.
There was something else I'd seen online. I've never had this discussion in person, and that is that people actually blame the games and the game mechanics. I have to disagree. I'm sorry, but I have to disagree on that. I do get the argument, but I disagree.
I think you'll find it's often dependent on the group you're playing with, knowing everyone inside out in the group, how people's personalities gel well together, and balancing that and knowing how to react. I can see why people can think it could be the game's fault, because if a game makes you have to work together, especially if there's a co-op variant with a traitor or something mechanic in it, you know, when you can't always trust the people you're working with. So there's an extra sort of level in there. But you still need to know, you know, I can think of various groups that I've played with and still play with to this day where there are more stronger and louder characters playing than others, and those that struggle to come to terms with some of the games than others. And it's finding that balance of knowing you have these people in your group, knowing what they like, what they dislike, and being prepared to work with them to make sure they actually get incorporated into it all. If you know you've got these people around you, or you spot this happening, push them slightly to get involved. And again, as I said, sort of ask why, what they could do, why, what options do they have. And then start suggesting stuff if you think it might detriment the whole game. But even then, try and resist the urge to do that.
Mutual assistance in working towards a common goal. It is literally written in the dictionary. can't really argue it, can you?
No, but on the flip side, everyone has to be on the same page. It's easy. The one time I can argue it is people let themselves, you know, or don't want to take part in the first place. That can often draw out a quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, I do have to agree with that one. So, we know that they exist. We know that there's not really a way around it. So how do you handle being quarterbacked by someone else? There are a few things you can do that won't cause conflict.
So, first one is ask them to explain their suggestions. You know, as we said earlier, they might be right and they may have a really good game plan. But if you ask them nicely to explain why, they might try and give you a little bit more space, realizing you're on the same page as them. Or it may bring it into a full group discussion.
Which really is what it should be in the first place. So yeah, doesn't hurt to ask them to explain their suggestions. I think the next one was, I mean, this one I don't particularly suggest straight away, but don't do what they tell you. So yeah, I mean, hear me out. This needs to be the last resort, because if all else fails, something that would drive them absolutely crazy to the point that they realise the group will actually do better if they leave you to make your own decisions, you know, that could work. But it's not ideal as the first step. You know, leave it as the last resort. Try everything else first. But yeah, if all else fails, just ignore exactly what they're saying. Do the complete opposite, should you wish.
So another one to do is, going on from my first point, it's explain why you want to do something different instead. You know, they might even actually hear you out and realize that you could have a better idea or just a completely different equally good idea going onto the table. And again, engage that in the group discussion. So between you, it's a group decision, not just one person leading the reins.
Yeah, as we said, cooperative games, that's the whole purpose of the game. So that's a good one. The other thing is, ask other players for their input. Now, one thing that could happen with this is if you do that, they may well try and interrupt. At this point, it is time to put the big boots on and tell them to stop. Tell them to stop and that you want to hear other people's ideas before you make the final decision. It's not ideal. It does, you know, it does require you to, like I said, put the big boy boots on and, you know, hold up a stop sign. Stand up for yourself. But yeah, that is a very good option and it usually does the trick. So this is another thing, and this is more for people that are in the same sort of positions as myself and Ian, where you're a club organiser, a game night host, or even another player in the game in question. It can be quite intimidating to really try and step in and handle a quarterbacker in your group. But what we personally do in this situation, there's a couple of things you can do. And this one isn't aimed specifically at tackling the quarterbacker. This is actually helping the player who is having their turns taken for them, and that is directly ask them what they are thinking. If the player isn't feeling very confident in their thinking, they may not want to offer up their thoughts to the group. As Ian said earlier, just by asking them, you are showing them that you value their opinion and you can help them to get that opinion out there just by creating that safe space for them to talk. And again, if the quarterbacking person wants to try and get involved, just ask them nicely to be quiet while this person is talking.
This also leads on to our next point, which is to just outright tell the quarterback to back off. We've had to do this, unfortunately, in many a game where you can see people getting irritated but not wanting to upset the apple cart, as it were. So, you know, it can get to the point where someone has to step up and actually say something. You know, can we all have a chance to think? Can we all have a chance to play? You know, make them realize that they're actually causing a problem, you know, and upsetting people.
Yeah. This is, again, speaking from experience, this is probably one of the hardest ones to do, but also one of the most effective. Try, if you can, to take the quarterbacking offender, shall we say, aside, maybe under the guise of, let's go to the kitchen and get a drink. To take them away from the rest of the group and just talk to them about it. Again, don't try and get all up in their face. Don't talk down to them or be condescending or anything like that. Just talk to them on the level. Explain what it's doing to the group. Because as we said before, they may not even know that they're doing it. And that might be enough to get them to calm down just that little bit. So yeah, I mean, that's how you... We would personally deal with them if we saw it happening, because it very rarely happens to us personally.
Although it has happened before.
It has indeed.
It's easily done.
So yeah, even some of the most seasoned players get quarterbacked occasionally. But how can you avoid being quarterbacked yourself straight from the off? Like, if you never want it to happen to you, do we have any suggestions of how you could avoid it?
So this came up with them earlier, sort of the ways we're looking at it. So first things first, you know, give suggestions to other people only if they ask for it. So that sort of saying, don't take control. You know, a lot of the issues with co-op games that people have that bring about the whole thing of quarterbacking is an imbalance in players' opinions and players' input into the game.
The next one would be actually to provide more than one opinion. Or one option, sorry. Provide more than one option, because these games have multiple ways, multiple paths that you can go down that will eventually lead to victory. It doesn't have to be one way or the highway. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to provide multiple options.
And accept that it's okay to lose. It's a game at the end of the day, and in these sort of games, we're all winning or losing as a team.
Yeah, exactly, and there's much more fun in losing. As experienced gamers, one thing I like to say is rather essential, and that is to let people make the mistakes, because the best way for them to learn is to make mistakes and move on. So yeah, letting people make the mistakes and learn is the best thing any experienced player can do, especially if you've done the right thing in providing the suggestions, as long as you're not demanding they take it, it's the right course of action.
And again, ask questions instead of giving directions. As I said earlier, if you don't think someone's making a very clever move, ask them to explain why. Try to understand where they're coming from. You know, don't tell them this is the only thing you can do, or you could do this or something. Let them come up with it. Ask them questions about why, what they need to do, why they think that's the right thing to do, and then would they like any other suggestions? You know, it still gives you options to let them know there's stuff to be done, but it lets them take some sort of control on what's going on.
Now, this one is actually a real, I suppose we'll say it's an easy one. It's pretty easy to actually see when someone isn't having fun. And if you notice that someone isn't having fun, it's time to start asking questions why that might be. It could be because they're not enjoying the game. Is that the game's fault, or is it because they're being quarterbacked? Is it because you're quarterbacking them yourself? It's just easy to ask yourself the question, is this something I have done or something that I can fix? When you see that the group or an individual person is not enjoying their time playing a tabletop game.
Yep, and then the last one is to ask your group, is to let them tell you if you end up quarterbacking. This definitely applies to when teaching games, because a good example in teaching a co-op game, the first round or two, you are probably going to take control, because you're going to have to explain what the options are, explain why you think particular ones may be better or not, or when other options may be useful. You know, you've got to try and get the game in depth for people to understand what's going on, to make their own decisions. But you've got to let go of that. You've got to let those reins be passed round. You know, if you just keep that all to yourself, then you will become the quarterbacker.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we've made our point on this one. You know, quarterbacking in tabletop games is often done with the best intentions, more often than not.
Best intentions, but it can have the most catastrophic failures as well.
Yeah, I agree.
A good example was a game of Thanos Rising that I played back in the days at Pound Hill Board Gamers, where literally we were playing a four-player game and three of us got up from the table and left, because we actually dealt with a lot of these options on telling the quarterbacker they were doing it, saying we were getting fed up, people getting bored, and then we just went, no, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's the bad side of it all. And that's what happens if we can't contain the problem or deal with the problem. You know, and again, it takes everyone involved to realize and work out what's right. At the end of the day, that particular game, it wasn't the most, you know, the right thing to do was to stop. None of us were having fun, so why keep going?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And none of us were playing the game. That was why we weren't having fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as Ian said, it's best intentions can sometimes have disastrous consequences. So, you know, all the quarterback really wants is they want to win the game, and ultimately they want to help their other players. But yeah, there is a difference between helping other players and playing for them. So try letting them know. As Ian has just said, it's not always a guarantee, but I would say 80 to 90% of the time, these quarterbacking players don't even know they're doing it. Yeah, just bear that in mind. Be civil. We're all adults at the end of the day.
Well, most of us.
Well, we should be anyway. In physical form, we're all adults. But yeah, just bear it in mind, guys. It doesn't hurt to be nice. Rise above it. And just get it across that we're all here to have fun. And if we're not all having fun, then we're not playing a game. So, guys, yes, that is our discussion on quarterbacking in tabletop gaming. We hope that if you ever come into contact with something like this, we hope that what we have said does help you. Is there any techniques that some of you that may have had this have come up with that we haven't mentioned? We would be really interested to hear them. Just let us know on any of the social media websites, the links to which will be in the podcast description, or you can search on any of them by searching for Meeple Minded Media. You can find us on our Discord server, which again, the link is in the description for that. But other than that, we're going to hand over to our man in the new shed and his faithful pet rubber duck, Brian.
Left, left. Now keep shooting. No, right. Left. keep shooting. Left, left. Shoot. Shoot, shoot. Haha, you're dead. My go. What do you mean I've got work to do? This is my work. It's called research, my little yellow friend. Well, seeing as Space Invaders the board game finally turned up this week, I thought I'd better introduce you to what the fuss is all about. What do you mean the graphics are rubbish? This was the height of technology back in the day. Well, I say day, 40 odd years ago to be exact. Yeah, I know, nearly as long as we've been waiting for this Kickstarter to fulfill. Well, it's been a good 12, 13 months since it should have been here. Oh, and throw a global pandemic into the mix too. Yeah, you're thinking of 3Pier. We mentioned it a few months back. And yes, that did only take a month to fulfill after the campaign ended. Well, you see, it's all swings and roundabouts, really. And now with that container ship stuck in the Suez Canal, we may be waiting a little longer for any more Kickstarters coming in from China. Well, saying that, we've got plenty to play with till then. What, Space Invaders and 3Pier here. We've also got Red Rising, I picked up from the sorting office yesterday, together with Marvel Smash Up and DC's Dark Knight's Metal Deck Builder, already here after UPS losing the bloody things. Oh, and Canvas should be here by the end of the week. Customs apparently pulled their fingers out their bums and finally got the shipment cleared. So, we've got plenty of games heading into the bank holiday weekend to contend with. You better get on YouTube and start learning the rules to these whilst I read out this week's news. Yeah, you go and do that. The first couple of stories come to us from Plaid Hat Games this week. Since Plaid Hat Games' creation in 2009, they have brought us fantastic titles such as Stuffed Fables, Mice and Mystics, Dead of Winter, Forgotten Waters, Summoner Wars, Ashes Reborn, Spectre Ops, and Neon Gods. Plaid Hat Games, a US-based tabletop games publisher, was originally founded in 2009, but in 2015, Asmodee acquired both Plaid Hat Games and Z-Man Games. But back in February, Plaid Hat Games' head of studio and founder, Colby Dortch, reached an agreement with Asmodee and reacquired the independent rights to the Plaid Hat Games brand, and to many, but not all, of its current and past titles. Asmodee retained the rights to publish the following game titles: Dead of Winter, Raxxon, Mice and Mystics, Stuffed Fables, Aftermath, and Battlelands. With Dead of Winter and Raxxon now being published and supported by Fantasy Flight Games, and Z-Man Games taking control of Mice and Mystics, Stuffed Fables, Aftermath, and Battlelands, with both Fantasy Flight and Z-Man Games publishers remaining part of the Asmodee Group. Colby commented, "These past years with the Asmodee Group have been amazing, but I am excited to continue to lead Plaid Hat Games into the future. I am thankful to the many kind and creative people I've had the opportunity to work with at Asmodee, and look forward to continuing our relationships with Asmodee's distribution units throughout the world." And Steve Horfath, head of publishing at Asmodee North America, commented, "I am thrilled that this opportunity has worked out for Colby. I am excited to see what they do. We'll remain at their side as a strong long-term partner for distribution." Just goes to show that although Asmodee seems to be absorbing each and every publisher of late, that some can also head back out on their own. Which segues us nicely to the next story. Yeah, I know, Ian seems to use that metaphor quite a lot. Oh well, that being said, Plaid Hat Games supports Summoner Wars, and this summer sees the launch of its second edition and its new online counterpart. For those not in the know, Summoner Wars is a fully expandable, tactical, dueling card game, and with the launch of its second edition, it will feature updated versions of your beloved factions, along with exciting new ones ready to join the battle, and now with two great ways to play. Summoner Wars' second edition can be played in person with physical cards, or online with a new browser-based app, Summoner Wars Online, or indeed both. With new artwork and perfected rule system, this edition is guaranteed to delight both new and old fans alike. Summoner Wars puts you in the role of a powerful summoner in control of a unique army dedicated to taking control of the war-torn planet of Itharia. Displaying your tactical prowess by summoning units to your gates, outmaneuvering your opponent, and cutting down the enemy summoner to claim your victory. Be wary though, the enemy will take advantage of every opportunity they find to destroy you and your army. With countless units, a wide variety of spells and abilities, and the option to build your own decks, this all makes for a game sure to entertain you, play after play. But you don't have to wait until August to experience the new second edition, as Summoner Wars Online has an alpha demo available for you to play right now, as either the faction of Cave Goblins or Breakers. You can play solo against Doug, the AI, or via multiplayer with a friend. So head on over to Played Hat Games website for links and more information. Summoner Wars Online will be identical to the physical game once it's released and will include all factions from the Master Set when it launches in August 2021. The app will also be updated as new factions are released. For Ian and all the Pokemon fans out there, news of the newly revealed Sword and Shield Elite Trainer Box Plus, Ian's going to slaughter me for mispronouncing these names, but Zacian, or Zamencenter, or Zacian, or Zamencenter, yeah, I've probably butchered those. Anyway, in both these new Elite Trainer Boxes, the protagonists are featured in a golden card form with a black and gold accessories to match. They also include a player's guide that reviews the first year of Sword and Shield series expansions and promotion cards. As mentioned, the special box contains gold versions of the protagonists and a player's guide, as well as 6 metal damage counter dice, a metal coin featuring the protagonists, 65 card sleeves featuring artwork from the set, a set of metal markers, 12 Pokemon TCG booster packs from the Sword and Shield series, rules booklet, and a code card for the Pokemon trading card game online. The sets are set to be released around the last week of April. Both copies of the Sword and Shield Elite Trainer Box Plus will retail for about £65 or $60. So get in contact with your FLGS in order to get your pre-orders in. And we're heading on over to Kickstarter now. And the first one up this week is Horns Up, the Lacuna Coil official card game by Lab Massu. It's for 3 to 9 players, takes about 40 minutes to play, it's for 8 years and over, and ends on April the 13th. The base level pledge at £21 or €24 gives you the base game and all unlocked stretch goals. At £26 or €30 gets you the game and the Lacuna Coil expansion, plus 3 promo gadgets, game board flag, and unlocked stretch goals. Welcome to the most action-packed party card game ever. Horns Up, inspired by the amazing atmospheres, the most exciting and overwhelming concerts of all, like the Italian heavy metal-bound Lacuna Coil's live events. Whether you're a coiler or a gamer, whether you have headbanging friends or children with their horns up, this is perfect for you. It's got a super fast setup, easy to learn, and with every rule in the form of an icon, avoiding the need to do much reading. You're late. The audience is already heaving and you're at the back. You need to force yourself through the audience to the front of the stage to fully embrace the inebriating atmosphere of the band. The game's expansion was developed hand in hand with the Lacuna Coil Band, asking them about the most awkward and exciting situations happening during their concerts around the world. The result of their tales has become a deck of cards that are extremely heavy. For this reason, they decided to pair these episodes with the most friendship-threatening game mechanics. Playing with this deck, you will have the chance to unleash your wrath against a single opponent, loading them with endless debuffs, or spread your evil ways on every opponent. This may call for revenge from your opponents, but keep headbanging and keep your horns up. Our next game is Quad City Killers by Barely Suitable Games, and it's one not for the faint-hearted. It's for 1 to 6 players, takes 90 to 180 minutes to complete, it's for 14 years and over, and it ends on April the 16th. You can pledge the Trophy Hunter level for the base game at £26 or $35, the Quarry level at £33 or $45 lets your likeness become a prey card within every game purchased, or go for the Prestige level, lets you become a killer within your copy of the game and the possibility of being in every produced set along with 5 other backers. And this will set you back £48 or $65. Quad City Killers, murderous fun for the whole family. Quad City Killers is created in the style of an 80s board game, but with a bit of a dark side. Yeah, a bit more than that. Players compete as serial killers, traveling between the Quad Cities and dispatching prey in an attempt to gain notoriety. Each prey ID card has a defense level notoriety score, and upon successful attacks, players keep these cards as their trophies. Play continues until one player reaches the peak of their dexterity scale. At this point, all players total their notoriety points, and the player with the highest total wins. On your turn, perform 3 actions out of 5, which can include either hunting, traveling, attacking, playing scenario cards, or discarding cards from your hand. But as players rack up kills using their innate abilities, modifying resource cards and skill rolls, their dexterity increases. But so does the heat from the law enforcement hot on your tails. And lastly this week, we have Amass, and it's the first game by Dark Frontier Games based here in the UK. This for 1 to 6 players, takes an hour to play, is for 14 years and over, and it ends on April 25th. With one pledge level at £35, it's not too bad. Amass, deep space mining crews fight to gather resources on a hostile alien planet. The goal of the game is to complete your mining contract while collecting the most valuable resources. You're fighting for resources scattered across the planet. Raid resources from other crew encampments, but keep a lookout for the hostile alien raiders. Each turn, new resources appear across the planet, and the players secretly plan their crew actions. After all the crew placements are revealed, mining crews fight each other for the resources. Defeated crew members are placed on the wound tracker, where in time they will recover. Alien raiders roam around the map, stopping players mining locations and attacking crew encampments. But the crew can also fight these aliens to gain new action cards, which they can use in future battles. The game ends when one player has succeeded in filling their base with resources. The resources are then counted up, and the mining crew with the highest value of resources wins. Unfortunately, there's no big news from any of the big shows this week, so it just leaves me to tell you about all our local groups. But that doesn't mean they're just local groups for local people. Anyone can come and join the groups for their weekly shenanigans, and let's just say there's a lot of shenanigans. Wednesday evening is gaming run by the Comic Shop in Crawley and hosted by ours truly, Jason. It's run via the Comic Shop Discord server, with gamers playing on a variety of platforms. So head on over to the shop's social media pages for more information. Thursday is the usual Worthing Board Gamers and Lewis Board Game Cafe groups on Zoom, so go check out their socials. And of course, Mondays is Jason, Ian and the Crawley gaming community over on their Discord server, and usually Tabletop Simulator. So look after yourselves, meeples, stay safe, keep those dice rolling, the cards shuffling, and we'll be right here for you next week. It's goodbye from the duck. And it's a goodbye from me. Till next week, hands off, it's my go.
Thank you very much for that, Paul. And thank you, Brian, for the news. And that is it for another week from us. How do you think it went this week, Ian? It was a very, very controversial one that we had to very much watch our tongues on, I think.
Yeah, it's difficult because we don't want to put the gaming industry in a bad light or any particular people in a bad light. You know, we've known people throughout our time doing the gaming industry, you know, and it's very difficult, especially when you want examples of things, not to highlight particular people or you know, single anyone out, because people change. And when you realize, you know, that's why we pointed out, is a lot of the time people don't even realize they're doing half these things, but it can kill an entire games night when it happens.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on that one. And especially speaking from experience when it comes to the teaching of games as well, it's very easy to accidentally switch from teaching to quarterbacking. So if you are someone who regularly teaches games, take it from our experience, it is something you really have to be careful of. Just make sure that when you're teaching, you're not playing the game for those people. Again, we're not teaching you to suck eggs. We're just trying to make sure that as many people fall in love with this hobby as possible. So, yeah. The real question here today, Ian, is, you know, we've personally been talking for about 30 minutes about this. In that time, have you backed Robinson Crusoe?
I have not, but I'm not going to lie. I'm actually on the page looking at it at this very minute.
It's almost as if I know you really well, isn't it?
If I didn't own the game, and I know there is an upgrade kit, then I probably wouldn't have even contemplated, you know, just throwing money at it. But I have to do some research and work out where I am at the moment.
Yeah, Yeah, it's wise. Don't dive into something if you don't have to.
I mean, technically, does it class as kickstarting something if it's not on Kickstarter?
This is very true. This is very true. I mean, I think you've just come up with a new podcast episode right there. You see, I'll be still Kickstarter addicts if we don't use Kickstarter.
Oh dear,
crowdfunding addicts. It's all the same thing here.
You were the last one to crowd something, mate, not me.
This is true. This is very true. Well, we won't talk about that because we're going to say goodbye. I'm sure everyone is ready to go. So, yeah, we will say goodbye and I will avoid talking about Kickstarter for another week. Have you got anything you want to add this week, Ian?
No, I'm good.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. We are ready to go. I'm going to guess Ian's going to boot up Valheim about now. I'm going to probably start opening some Kickstarter boxes here. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure, as always. We will see you next Tuesday for another Tabletop Gaming podcast episode. Yeah, goodbye. Thank you very much for joining us. Game safe. We'll see you then.
Stay well, stay safe. Goodbye.
Bye.